September 23rd, 1973. Dear Jane, sorry you couldn't be at speech day. Speech day? It's funny, back at school, already at work. £16 a week. Isabel came. Durham. Durham, long way, she said. But then you're in Marrakesh. Marrakesh with Danny Brewitt from Fluorescent Orange Candy. Janice Flounce Maxie in Maroon, engaged to Mick, big surprise. Helen F, 4 A's, parents gave her yellow mini clubman. Worst thing, she saw steel eye span, couldn't remember if they did all around my hat. Ruddy typical. 2 exclamation marks. Miss Fitz not pleased I'm learning to type. Clever women shouldn't type, end up as secretaries. Odd, I'd love to be a secretary. Exclamation mark.
Laura, come down and keep me company.
Coming, Dad! Exclamation mark. Or a librarian. Librarians are so rarefied. In love with one of them already, after 1 week.
All around my hat, I will wear the green willow.
Summoned by Shells, by Lynn Truss.
For a 12-month family day, and if
thank you very much. Oh, Drayton's in this. He's marvellous. I was just copying his How Many Paltry Foolish Painted Things. It'll be in there somewhere. How many paltry foolish... Bye. Oh, hello.
Coffee break, all right. Annoying the readers again. Making them feel ill-read, I suppose.
Hello, David.
No, why should you? I mean, look at you.
What?
You. Long hair, long frocks. Dr. Potter started calling you the Belle Dame sans mercy in memos to the senior staff. Still, dull existence for an enthusiastic girl.
On a date.
On a hockey field. I've got the hang of this infernal contraption anyway. If you're up to uni next year, don't worry about Dr. Potter giving you a glowing reference. Bloody easy time, girls.
More wrist, I think.
I beg your pardon?
I've been practising in the evenings. Like this.
I have to say, Adrian, you are a breath of fresh air.
That's what they said about Hurricane Alice, Mrs. Eslin. That's what they said about the whirlwind of communism in China. Breath of fresh air, they said. Just before it blew the known world to match with.
Yes, yes. Well, I was thinking more in terms of having French doors left open. I'm afraid to say the Chinese whirlwind has rather passed me by.
You underrate yourself, Mrs. E. Just because you're a senior librarian in a comfy Victorian Gothic building, you mustn't think you have no global political validity.
Mustn't I? Well, that's a relief.
What so many people fail to realise is that librarianship, like the rest of the world, is in a permanent state of revolution.
Are you sure, Adrian? Permanent revolution? Does Dr. Potter know?
Does Dr. Potter know?
Well, I'm sorry, Adrian. Your tutu in social studies must defer to my first ingrates on this occasion. Putting it starkly, I've had this coffee cup since 1959. The library has had its uniquely cumbersome Beecham classification system since 1874. Dr. Potter has been wearing the same pair of trousers since 1725. In short, anywhere less resembling a permanent state of revolution is virtually impossible to conceive.
Do you know how the 1905 revolution started?
No. Sit down, Adrian, and please keep your voice down. Some of your colleagues are trying to read.
The 1905 revolution began when Bolshevik printers demanded to be paid the same rate for punctuation marks as for letters. Imagine that! World events turning on the market rate of a semicolon. Information is power, Mrs. Eslin. We are the keepers of information. Ergo, we hold the key to history. This is 1973! We are called to insurrection, Margaret. May I call you Margaret?
Certainly not.
And here's little Laura. She agrees with me.
Don't fill this girl's head with any nonsense, Adrian. Did that laconic young man, David, relieve you at the issue desk, dear?
Yes. David, yes.
20 minutes, then come and type some catalogue cards. We'll see how many you can do without using correction fluid
more than twice. Thank you, Mrs. Estlin.
Catalogue cards at a time like this? The peaceful phase is over, as V.I. Lenin said in 1915. What are you doing?
I'm writing down laconic. You know what it means, do you?
No idea. Morning, Dr. Potter.
Morning.
Actually, overthrowing the library isn't in my interest right now. Little does that old duffer know, but I'm about to make a masterly play for the De Montfort collection on the 13th floor. Have you been up? It's brilliant. When old Makepeace died up there at his desk, they didn't find him for 3 days.
Dr. Potter took me into the tower and I came for my interview. He said he didn't know whether the books or the company were more inspirational.
Did he attempt to snog? Quite a turn on that tower.
No, Adrian.
All right. But inspiration and upliftment aside, the point is, imagine the De Montfort with a few Indian rugs, posters of Shea. As Leon Trotsky used to say, it beats work.
What grade are you on, Adrian?
That's a very impertinent question. A temporary AS1 should never ask a permanent AS4 what grade they're on. But I tell you what, a self-respecting AS4 would never be caught reading Thomas Hardy.
Oh, it's only...
God, you are such a sucker for punishment. Far from the madding crowd. All that irony, all those peculiar words no one's ever heard. You've written irony in the margin, look.
Adrian!
There was a wide margin of grass along here, and Gabriel's footsteps were deadened by its softness. Even at this indurating period of the year, indurating, I ask you, can I have that biscuit?
It's hardening.
Is it?
Not the biscuit, indurating. It means hardening.
Oh. Fancy coming out with me on Saturday. Come on, I bet you're not going out with anybody else.
No, I'm not, but...
You'll die an old maid.
Please.
No, go and practice your typing then.
I just remembered something. Are you really after the De Montfort? It's just that David's planning to ask for it too, so you shouldn't really, should you?
Why would David want it? Laconic bloke like him.
He wants to catalogue it for his PhD with the university's computer. It's revolutionary!
I hope you're not in love with David.
No.
Yes, you are. You're blushing. Look. I hate to go all high and mighty in 28, but just because David's got a beard and a tweed jacket, he's not what's-his-name in your book with a kamikaze sheep.
Gabriel Oak.
That's him. God, I really hated that film. Peasants getting drunk and dancing about, crying out for collectivism, if you ask me. But come on, Laura. Not David. David reads Tolkien. Mm-hmm. At 26, he's got a map of Middle Earth on his bedroom wall. He drinks mead.
I know. Oh, I'll never be good enough for him.
Look, come out with me on Saturday and we'll make David jealous. Come on, we'll tell him all about... Come on, it works in books. Why are you thinking? Can I have that other biscuit? Right.
Don't you admire the energy of young people, Margaret? Like young animals, frolicking in the Garden of Eden. Oh, it makes me tired just to watch the way our lovely Laura runs from one end of the catalogue hall to the other. Does she wear a bra, do you think?
We are considering the periodicals room rota, Henry.
Ah, yes. Well, it looks splendid. Everything going well in the library? Good, good. It's hard to imagine Princess Anne a married woman, isn't it? I remember when the little thing was born.
What did the Vice-Chancellor want to see you about?
The Vice-Chancellor? Well, nothing. Well, nothing for you to worry your head about.
There are some worrying rumours going round, Henry, about the Vice-Chancellor being opposed to your beloved Beecham. You do know when to compromise, I hope.
Me? Well, of course. Compromise is second nature to me. Do you think the lovely Laura is a virgin, by the way? There's something about the way she walks.
I could read a stack of you, David, a multi-volume set. You live in Stevenage, you took a master's. shy and lean. I even like the way you read Tolkien.
David! David! Stop! David! Isn't this a splendid morning? So pristine.
What? Oh, hello. Sorry, Laura, I was just thinking about Beach and the classification, the old classification system.
Oh, I know.
Laura?
Yes?
I've been meaning to ask you.
Yes?
Found this... it was silly note in my Lord of the Rings, Friday. It wasn't you.
Silly note, no. Let me see it. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may... Old time is still a-flying. And this same flower that smiles today, tomorrow will be dying. That's not silly. That's metaphysical. We did it at school. It means seize the day. Carpe diem. Don't miss the chance of happiness.
Yes, okay. But look, you type this.
No. Look, really, it wasn't me, honestly, David. Putting a note in a book. Look what happens to Bathsheba Everdeen when she sends that valentine to Farmer Boldwood. It's a terrible, ironic disaster for everybody concerned. Farmer Boldwood ends up hanged.
God.
It was probably someone's idea of a joke, or perhaps they put it there by mistake.
It's the third one I've had. Look, I wish you'd all just leave me alone.
Well, what do you think of Jean-Luc Godard? Laura, speak to me. If it's only to tell me goodbye.
Look, I thought we were going to go and see Elvira Madigan, that's all. Bought some tissue, specially.
Elvira Madigan? The least political film ever made. Not blooming lightly. Not when Jean-Luc Godard's Vendeste is on offer at the ICA.
I'm sorry, Adrian, but I feel a bit upset. All those people yelling slogans in French. Why did that man stand in a field and point this way to the revolution? He was stupid. And you see the other people in the audience? They were all nutcases and vegetarians.
Oh, I'm sorry I ruined your evening. All I can say is, if you were working class, you'd have understood it.
I am working class.
No, you're not.
I am.
What does your father do?
He's a warehouseman in a lawnmower factory. It doesn't matter. But I'm the first person in my family to use the word paroxysm or altruism, and I can tell you working class people would laugh at that film.
No, they wouldn't.
Oh, look, let's not argue. Argue makes me feel the sky will fall on me. It doesn't matter. Come on.
No.
It doesn't matter.
It matters very much. I take you out, in all good faith, to a classic of left-wing cinema, and you spit on my political credentials.
Oh, come on, look, we're only here to make David jealous. We might as well enjoy it.
Is that what you... Oh, great. That's great. Look, I'll see you on Monday.
What?
I suppose David would have taken you to Elvira Bloody Madigan.
Why are you upset? It doesn't matter. Adrian! Adrian! And then he just went off on his bus. Still don't understand. When I saw him in the lift this morning, he wouldn't speak, except to ask if I'd had any paroxysms of altruism recently.
I think you touched a sore spot. Your father's a warehouseman. Adrian's father's a cabinet secretary. Anyway, I thought it was David you were interested in.
Is it so obvious?
David hides in the returns cupboard when he sees you get out of the lift. I think that proves it's obvious.
Oh, I didn't know that. You see, Mrs. Esslin, the thing is, we're unequal and we both know it. Like Tessa the d'Urbervilles and Angel Clare. The first day I talked to David, I said, I'd love to study bibliography because I've always been interested in the Bible. How could he forget that? Every time the word bibliography comes up now, he just gives me a funny look.
It's a shame you both work in the library. Bibliography comes up all the time.
And now David's found three notes in his Lord of the Rings and thought they were from me, and he's angry with me and I can't stand it, and Adrian's angry with me for having a dad who's more politically right on than him, and I can't stand that either.
There. Dr. Potter's very fond of you. And he's not right on at all.
Come in.
Is this a good moment, sir?
Moments are so much alike in quality, I always think. This is one, and this is another. Take a seat. That's it. Now sit up straight. Your sinews are strong. Now, young man, what do you want?
I'd like...
What? Spit it out.
I'd like you to see these notes, sir. Someone's planting them in my book. I should like you to have a word with Laura, sir.
Let's see. Gather ye rosebuds. Hedrick, one of my own favourites. Ben Jonson, Drayton. Beautiful typing. Are you sure the lovely Laura did these? Lovely Laura's typing is keen, admittedly, but usually execrable. The Hitsery of Philosophy by Bertrand Russell. That will always be a treasured favourite of mine.
I agree the typing is unusually faultless, Dr. Potter. But she has a head full of poetry. She copies it in brown ink, in
a big book?
In the lunch hour. And when I confronted her with Gather ye rosebuds, she had the nerve to give me a lecture on seizing the day.
Ah, yes, carpe diem. An ingenious seduction line. Remind someone young and disdainful that in a few years they will be mouldering in the grave, and the idea is they'll pop into bed with you before you can say metaphysical. Such a shame it never works.
Mrs. Eslin?
You look pleased with yourself.
As I should. I have just proved myself a politician and am on my way to the 13th floor.
Shh! A politician? Have you ever heard the warning that all men become the thing they hate, Adrian?
I think I'm safe then, Mrs. E. The only thing I really hate is Chummy. I'll just tell Laura.
Laura!
I think you're too indulgent with young women.
So, do you?
I mean, you're too kind. Girls can be very manipulative, flirting and... This is upsetting me. And as an S1 and chief classifier, I felt I had a right to insist.
Look, David, whoever loves you enough to send you Herrick is evidently much too good for you. Good heavens. I was considering you for the De Montfort librarianship, but I am now extremely glad I gave that honour to young Adrian just this morning.
Adrian? On what possible grounds? He's an AS4.
Now, on the grounds, as I recall, that he asked me first. Also, as he reminded me, I knew his father at Cambridge. He intends to classify the collection using the university's computer. Wherever could he have got an idea like that from?
Harold, is it true you gave the De Montfort to Adrian without consulting me?
David, what have I done? I am so sorry.
Oh, you're upset, my dear. Would you take a brandy? Lie down on my Chesterfield?
No.
Dear Laura, come in here. Laura, you're being...
Adrian, I know you love me, but why must you be so cruel to David?
Come back. She's got this all wrong, you know. Laura!
Laura!
Harold, I blame you for this.
Blame me? I haven't the slightest idea what's going on. The girl's deranged.
She's heading for the tower, of course.
For the tower? Oh, what a splendid girl. And she doesn't wear a bra, you know. Adrian told me.
What have I done?
Laura! Watch out. Watch out for Tuesday when the lifts go.
I know.
I don't understand this reaction.
I know. Women, eh?
Laura!
Where are we?
13th. Just passed the De Montfort. Laura!
Look, David, how about a drink? The grapes will be open. Half of mead? Pint? Sorry, I've no idea how you drink mead. But I am trying, sorry mate, to beat you to it. But there'll be other De Montforts. One there, mate.
Adrian, look, why did you... Your idea about computerising... It's just, I had the same idea.
I know, Laura told me. But look, don't worry. I was only saying it. I value you too much.
Well, are you serious, then?
Huh?
I can't. Aren't you going to do it?
Of course not. Honestly, computer's in the library. Oh.
David, are you mad? Get off.
You stupid, stop this.
You're a mean drinker, David. Mean drinkers are men of peace. Oh, God, that wasn't you.
My tweed jacket. Oh.
All around my hat, I will wear a green willow.
Laura?
Yes?
Where are you, Laura?
Here. In Arthurian romance. Under Guinevere. David, what happened? Your lovely jacket.
I just tried to hurt Adrian.
Oh.
You told him I wanted the de Montfort, didn't you? And about my plans.
Oh, it's all my fault. And now I've made you come up into the tower, and that's such a turn on. I'll ruin everything. Oh, David, please. Please put your manly arm around me and forgive me. If you bend it in the middle, at the elbow, and the other way, it's there. So it's sort of. That's it.
Do you really love me?
Yes.
Why?
Because you're wonderful.
This has all been. A bit. Laura, now that I've got my arm, can I, you know.
Oh, David. Up here in the Tower of Books, surrounded by idylls, will I finally be yours?
Mine? Well, if you're sure, to be honest, I only meant.
Yes, David. If I were to die for this one paroxysm of joy. The answer is yes.
December 30th, 1973. Dear Jane, Dad and I, pleased to hear Fluorescent Orange tour going well in US of A. Don't mind a bit that you had a drink with Joni Mitchell. Joni Mitchell, underlined. In Detroit. After all, Bamba Gascoigne came in library the other day, so we're quits. Irony update. Oh, yes. Irony update. Underline. One. Just when I thought I lost David, I got him. Irony two. David didn't get the de Montfort, given classifying promotion suits him better. Irony three. Tried for ages to impress David with how clever I am, and it turns out he doesn't like clever women. Exclamation mark. Thanks for white room test, shortcut to the psyche. Worried it might not be so good if not stoned in Monterey, but we'll try it in the coffee room. Love, Laura. So, what did you put down about being in the white room?
Do I have to do this?
Jane says to think of it as a type of self-cataloguing. Imagine you're smoking a roach or something.
Smoking a roach?
Well, I don't know. All right, I'll start. So, for how I feel about being in the white room, I wrote happy, free, floaty. I think it tells you how you feel about sexual intercourse. Happy, free, floaty. Oh, well. It's interesting anyway. Oh, shut up, Adrian.
I'm not doing this.
Adrian put, out of touch with life, free to read without interruption, no money worries, lots of Rizzlers. That's odd. And you put, let's see, trapped, suffocated, buried alive, want to scream. And the white room tells you how you feel deep down about death. God, what a relief. And what animal did you put in the white room?
I didn't do one.
Yes, you did. I put a performing seal, funny, smart, able to balance a beach ball on its nose, likes fish. Adrian put parrot, bright, amusing, colourful, never stops talking. And you put, let's see, dog. Well, that's nice. You see, faithful, wordless, abject. Is that abject or object?
Abject.
So that's faithful, wordless, abject and not too smelly. David. Now, what does that tell us? The animal is your ideal partner.
Sorry.
I'm sorry I'm not performing seal, Laura.
Oh,
dear. Reach and call. See you later.
David, I'm sorry. Oh, come back. We haven't done sex yet.
A four-legged friend, she'll never let you down. She's honest and faithful, right up to the end. That wonderful 1, 2, 3, 4-legged friend.
Well, I have to say, Adrian, this looks very nice.
It's not much, Mrs. Essling, but it's home. Grab a beanbag. Like a coffee?
That would be lovely, Adrian. Lovely! Oh.
You all right? I don't usually see you on the 13th floor.
Oh. I've got some rather alarming news. Dr. Potter is finally retiring in the summer.
Oh, that's good, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it's good that he's leaving. I've been waiting for him to leave for 15 or possibly 150 years.
I see. So,
Well, how can I explain it? Well, without wishing to cause offence, his appointment of you to this plum position was not just a symptom of his escalating mental incontinence.
Oh, it wasn't? And I suppose merit came into it.
It was a cynical act, Adrian. Before he goes, rather than abandon that bloody old Beecham, Dr. Potter may allow the university to close the library.
What? Let the library close? Including this unique and uplifting collection when I've just shelled out for these beanbags?
Yes. Beanbags notwithstanding. I don't know what to do. I hope to be chief librarian one day, Adrian. Was that so wicked? Oh, so wrong.
We must fight, Mrs. E. Storm the Senate House. I'll be Lenin, and you can be the confused intelligentsia.
Revolution is a bit drastic, Adrian.
I know. We may have to dress up Dr. Potter's family in sailor suits and shoot them.
Ah, David. Come in, sit down. Move those begonias. Go on, a bit of loam won't hurt you. Yeah. Now, tell me all about it. Take your time. Get a move on.
You wanted to see me.
Did I? Oh, what a happy coincidence. You're here. You don't happen to know what I wanted to see you about.
I believe it was something about the centenary celebrations for the Beecham classification system in June.
You're well informed, young man. That project is top secret.
You told Laura about it, sir. And you put a notice on the board.
Ah, lovely Laura. Honestly, David, I will never understand women. And you know why? Because I will never try.
No, sir.
So, tell me, what do you think of old Beecham now you've been working with him for a few months? Splendid classifier, eh? Mixing the theoretical with the geographical in beautiful, surprising ways. As I always say, half the fun of libraries is finding things on the shelves you weren't expecting.
Well, Laura certainly adores it.
Does she? Lovely Laura.
Whereas, to be truthful, sir. Sir?
Sorry, miles away. Lovely Laura. Yes?
To be truthful, I think it's time Beecham had an overhaul.
Do you? Do you? And who might you be?
I have studied classification, Dr. Potter. And Beecham is the only system that classifies a book not only by author, subject and date of publication, but also where you find it in relation to the lavatories on the third floor.
Yes?
I am in favour of adopting Dewey, sir. Anything that will make it compatible with...
How dare you! And you want to organise an exhibition honouring Beecham? You're a traitor to this library! A spy of the Vice-Chancellor's! And get out! You come in here trampling over my begonias.
What's this library, sir? I come in on Sundays. And I have been investigating in my spare time the potential for its future computerisation.
That's it! Make peace! You're fired!
I'm not
make peace. Look, I know your sort, bringing computers into libraries. Overhauling, indeed. I suppose you'd overhaul the English language to get rid of the subjunctive, would you? Overhaul poetry to get rid of the obsolete vocabulary.
Shall I get you a glass of water, sir?
No, no, go, and don't come back. You never could classify your arse from your elbow, make peace. Get out!
You can stop that now, if you like, Laura. Can't be long until the 9 o'clock bell. What's wrong with David?
Oh, I don't know. He looked quite white when he came out of Dr. Potter's office. Oh, he never tells me how he's feeling.
Men. Never waste time understanding them, Laura.
Is it too difficult?
Oh, no. Good Lord. It's too easy.
Hello, Adrian. Don't let me disturb you.
Laura. Laura, you seem to be looking for something. If you lost your virginity up here, as many believe...
Oh, shut up.
I was going to say, our current retrieval system isn't quite up to that one.
I'm just getting a feel for the classification, that's all. Dr. Potter wants to talk to me about Beecham this afternoon. It's like Shakespeare wanted to talk to you about blank verse.
Oh, yes. Or to look at it slightly differently, it's like Goebbels wanting to talk to you about posters.
I don't understand the ordering of this section. You've got Gandhi, St. Maud of Claremont, and somebody called Marshall McLuhan all mixed up.
That's because it has no order. I'm importing anarchy. Talking of which, what time is your meeting with Potter?
3:30. Why?
We're taking over the catalogue hall at 4:00.
What?
Don't look so alarmed. It's not such a big deal to stand up for yourself occasionally. Try it, huh? Try it with David.
Oh, not me. The sky would fall in.
Perhaps you should spend more time up here, in a De Montfort, getting inspired. Most of these people stood up for something. Did you say you found Gandhi just now, by the way?
Yes, it's here.
Well, hand it over then. Don't tell anybody, but since I messed everything up, I can't find a single thing in this place.
So tell me your thoughts about Beecham, my dear. Let an old man sup wisdom from those rosy lips. Clever women are so...
Fascinating?
No.
Wonderful?
Bizarre. That's it. Whoever it is, go away.
Is Laura in there? Laura, come out. I've got to tell you something.
Lock the door, will you, dear? How disgraceful, the youth of today.
I'm very sorry, Dr. Potter. It's not like David.
Later, later. Bring me the key.
Go away.
You don't understand.
Go away. He's gone.
That's better. Now, we were talking of Beecham and how he will live forever.
I just don't see why people are so critical of Beecham, Dr. Potter. The logic is easy enough to follow. Well, there's a beauty in it. Just because it's not simple, it doesn't mean it's not pure.
Music to my ears. Now, here's a book for you. I have removed its call mark as a little test. Here to help you is our good old friend Beecham's First Principles, as edited by Harold Potter, B.A. Ons, M.A. Cantab, Diplib, Ph.D. Now, come and sit next to me. That's right. Tell me, as quickly as you can, where you think old Beecham would place this book. Would a drink help?
No, thanks. Well, 4A Lambda E. The Lambda means it's near the lift.
Very good. Are you wearing perfume, my dear?
Then the subject area is SWW for Second World War, bracket H for history, P for politics, PP for pictures, and P again for practical students.
Yes.
So that's 4A Lambda E, SWW brackets, HP, PP, P, close brackets. The author is Smith, which Beecham gives as Smith 27, which is one of those things you just have to learn.
Learn and love.
Learn and love, yes. The book is very long, so we give VVL, and it was published in 1959, which we give, dating from the inception of Beecham in 1874,
yes.
As 26 plus 59 equals 85. So, to sum up, it's
4A, lambda E, SWW bracket, H, P, PP, P, close bracket, Smith 27, VVL 85, I think.
Perfect! Now, I have to ask you one more question.
Yes?
Can I take you out to dinner?
No!
Give us a kiss. Please, accept this begonia.
No!
Oh, lovely Laura. Twice or thrice had I loved thee before I knew thy face or name. So in a voice, so in a shapeless flame. Angels affect us oft and worshipped be. Laura, look at me. Don't turn away from your chief librarian. Who do you think you are? Laura, lovely Laura, look at me.
Give me the key to this door. I won't turn round.
Come into the garden, Maud, for the black bat night has...
Stop it! I want to say something to you, Dr. Potter, and I hope you're listening because it's very important. I'm just sick and tired of people classifying me. Who do I think I am? Who do I think I am? I am a person, not a book, and I refuse to be placed. Adrian thinks I'm ambitious, my father thinks I'm stuck up, Mrs. Esslin thinks I'm an idiot, David thinks I'm a spaniel, and you think I'm a tot!
Dr. Potter? Oh, my God. Speak to me.
Gather ye rosebuds, my...
Oh, Dr. Potter, I am so sorry. I'll get help.
Lovely.
Oh, Potter, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
One, two, three.
God, what is this city?
When do we want it?
Now.
How can we ask?
Stop! Please. Stop! What? Dr. Potter needs help. I think he's dead.
All right. All right. What did you hit him with? Beecham's first principles, I hope.
The sky fell in, Adrian. The one time in my life I stand up for myself, I kill Dr. Potter and the sky falls in!
January the 7th, 1974. Dear Jane, you're so right that we live in interesting times. Must have been terrible when Drummer shot in Oakland. Not to be outdone. Oh, that's nice. Revolution at the library. Sit-in in the catalogue hall. Felt terrible about what happened to Dr. Potter, but I'm not allowed to say it was tragic and ironic, underlined, because Adrian, our ringleader, calls it the opposite, hilarious and just. David has dumped me because he says I flirted with Dr. Potter and drove him mad. Isn't that cruel? Question mark. I don't think he likes women very much.
What do we want?
Rational chief librarian, a pledge to computerise and the overhaul of the classification system.
When do we want it?
Within a workable...
Can I leave soon, Adrian? I'm visiting Dr. Potter in the hospital and you're getting on so well here.
Why on earth are you visiting Potter?
I want to ask him something.
Look, I'm glad you've split up with David.
Oh?
You'll be glad too one day. You've been wasting your time. As I have.
Oh.
See me in the grapes after?
Okay. Dr. Potter?
Huh? Laura! Oh, how kind of you to come. Roses!
These were the nearest I could get to rosebuds, but they blossomed before I could get them here. I have to ask you something. Dr. Potter, when you put those notes into David's Lord of the Rings, they were meant for me, weren't they?
But I didn't put the notes in. I thought you did. Really, I thought you did. And I thought it was splendid.
So, Dr. Potter denies it, Adrian.
I see.
But if he didn't put them in, who did? It would have to be someone who didn't know I can't stick Tolkien.
Well, it could have been me, of course.
You? Of course it wasn't you. Where would you get Gather Ye Rosebuds from?
Out of your poetry book.
Are you saying it was you?
No!
Adrian?
All right, yes, yes, yes. Look, Laura... Sometimes it's painful to see people wasting their youth.
So you put lovelorn carpe diem messages into David's Lord of the Rings?
this is hard to take in. I knew you were a bit jealous of my interest in David, but you're always so... I had no idea how you really felt. God, how ironic. All along, if only you hadn't put the notes in the wrong book.
They weren't in the wrong book, Laura.
But you said...
I meant them for David.
So that he'd wake up to the passing of time and love me?
No.
Well, what then?
It was more of a long shot, you see. It was so that he might wake up to the passing of time and love me.
So, I'm sure we all want to wish Dr. Potter a long and happy retirement. And I can make another announcement. As you all know, I was interviewed last week for the post of Chief Librarian. And the outcome of that interview is that our new Chief Librarian is someone I've never heard of. A man, of course, Colin something, at Oxford with the Vice-Chancellor, who has promised to introduce computerization and a new classification system within 5 years.
You see, all the time Adrian was being so nasty to me, it wasn't because he was hurt and jealous, as I thought. It was because I was his rival. And all the time I secretly suspected Adrian was a sort of Gabriel Oak waiting his chance. He was doing exactly that, but waiting his chance for my boyfriend.
Well, you've got to see the funny side of it.
Can you imagine Adrian and David as a couple?
No, of course I can't. Well, for one thing, David's ideal partner is a faithful dog, and Adrian's ideal partner is a chatty parrot.
It's not funny, Mrs. Heslin.
Oh, but it is, it is. Oh, it's strange that young people are so keen on irony. Learning to enjoy takes so many years of experience.
April the 13th, 1974. Dear Jane, devastated to hear about arrest and conviction in Australia on drugs charges. We young people sail so close to the wind, but how can we do anything else? It must be in our natures. Look how much I allowed David to hurt me. I didn't have to do that, but I did. You didn't have to smuggle heroin in your bottom for Danny, but you did that. And now more adventure beckons, for me anyway. Reclaim my place at Bristol and started reading for first-year courses, and guess what they tell us to read? Metaphysicals. Seize the day. Seize the day. A very good idea within reason. If you can, make the most of your golden youth in that Australian women's jail. 25 years, very steep, but you'll be out in time for the year 2000, which must be some consolation. April the 13th, 1999. What will we all be doing then? Impossible to imagine. But I expect I will still be loving books and you will still be living life instead of reading about it, because that's the sort of people we are. Like your number, by the way. AZ24609. Whenever I write to you in the course of my glittering career, it will remind me of Beecham. Exclamation mark, question mark, kiss, kiss, kiss. Love, Laura.
All around my hat, I will wear the green.
In Summoned by Shelves by Lynn Truss, Laura was played by Rachel Atkins, Adrian by Douglas Hodge, David by Sam West. Mrs. Eslin was played by Cheryl Campbell, and Dr. Potter by John Rowe. Technical presentation was by Chris Reilly. It was produced in Bristol by Brian King.